Go ahead and open your Bibles into Exodus chapter 20. So far, we've looked at the first three commandments of what are called the Ten Commandments of God. They are, do we have that up there? So we've talked about the first three already. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make any idols or worship them. Thou shalt not take God's name in vain. And then we have the fourth one today. Keep the Sabbath holy. These first four commandments pertain to God and our relationship to Him. They are His expectations and commands for how we are to ascribe Him worth in our everyday lives. We've talked about worship before. That is ascribing worth. We worship the Lord. He is to be at the top of our list of priorities. Keeping these first four laws should never be a burden, but they should be a joy. Here's what the psalmist wrote in Psalm 1, 1 through 3. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners. Like, this person is blessed. Nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law, the Lord's law, he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. And why does he prosper? Because he delights in the law. The law brings him joy. Thus, keeping the law should be a joy. But it wasn't that way for the majority of Jews, especially back in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, as Jesus addressed that topic often. You see, after the Jews returned from Babylonian captivity, the leaders reasoned that they went into captivity because the nation had forsaken the laws of God. Specifically, they were right. Israel had failed to observe the land Sabbath for 490 years. They were commanded to give the land a Sabbath 1 year, it's the seventh year, for every 7 years. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and then the seventh year was to be a Sabbath for the land. So if you take for 449 years, they failed to honor that. But God was watching. God was keeping count. And he said, you owe me, see, take seven, divide that into 490, like, you owe me 70 years of Sabbath. That's how long they went into captivity for. Here's what 2 Chronicles verse 36 says, 36:21. The land, after they went into captivity, the land enjoyed its Sabbath rest. All the time of its desolation it rested, until the 70 years were completed in fulfillment of the word of the Lord spoken by Jeremiah. So because they were determined not to ever let that happen again, the Pharisees were given charge to make sure the people were accountable to obeying the commandments perfectly. However, obeying the law perfectly became a burden, as you could imagine. Eventually, even more laws were added to keeping the Sabbath, and more regulations were put on the people to the point that they could not even spit on a Sunday, because if the spit landed in the dirt, that became mud, and you were working. You were making mud. That's ridiculous. I know. So how could anyone ever think that God was good and loving when they were led to believe that these heavy burdens were His will? So when Jesus came, He put the law back into right perspective, and He made obeying them about love instead of obligation. Jesus obeyed the law perfectly because of His love for the Father. Father, God allowed Christ's righteousness to be imputed to us through faith because He loved us. He gave us further grace in the form of the Holy Spirit to help us keep the law with the right heart if we love Him. Even when we fail to keep them, when we repent, He is quick to forgive because Christ already paid the penalty for breaking the law. The law provides the direction of holiness, and it should be our joy to keep all of them, but with the right perspective and with the right heart. And that brings us to the fourth commandment. Look at beginning in verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. I'm going to go a little slow on this because I want our eyes to observe what we're reading here in our spirits. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. Whose Sabbath is that? Is that ours or God's? God's. In it you shall do no work, you, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heaven and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and He hallowed it. Means makes it holy. There have been a lot of different teachings on what it means to keep the Sabbath. Today I hope to simplify our understanding of this law by discussing why it was given, what it means to obey it, and how we are to honor it in this day and age. So first off, what does the Sabbath mean? I mean, we need to know what that word means. Our word Sabbath comes from the Hebrew word Shabbat, which literally means rest. So Sabbath, that word means rest. So why was it given? It's our first point. Why was the law pertaining to the Sabbath given? Whereas the Bible has told us and we've learned, Israel was to be a living witness to the one true God. He is the creator of everything, the almighty and the holy God. He was and is the provider and sustainer of all those who worship Him. One of the primary ways that they could be faithful witnesses was to work less, but gain more. Everybody sees it. Wow, you guys take a day off, yet you're blessed way more than we are. That's the idea. It would be evidence that God blesses, and that He can do more with 6 days than we can working seven. A little more, look, kind of like tithing, isn't it? God can do way more with our 90% than we can do with our 100%. Furthermore, God modeled for us all by creating everything in 6 days and then resting on the seventh. By following God's model, His people would be witnesses and also be blessed because He blesses that day. Remember, now, this is important. This is what I really want you to catch. Remember that in those days, people often reenacted the actions of the gods they worshipped. Most of the deities, we've talked about this, worshipped in those days were profane and perverted. Therefore, the rituals performed by those who worshipped them were also profane and lewd. So in one sense, the Hebrews modeled the behavior of the God whom they worship. You get that? They were modeling God. They were doing what as He did. But ultimately, the commandment of taking the Sabbath was a gift. Remember that God gave the laws so that people would prosper. He says, keep my laws and I'll prosper you in this land. You will prosper. The giving of the Sabbath was one of those blessings, not curses. God knows our propensity to think that more work will bring us more gain. But what happens is that people get too busy for the Lord. And to even think, about Him many times, let alone remember to worship Him. The Hebrews were no different. All they had known prior to being given the law was hard work 7 days a week for 470 plus years. Now as the people of God, they could rest a day. They could worship. They could share time with family and receive blessings for doing so. This was a gift. Even though the Sabbath was a gift, though, it was serious business as far as the Lord was concerned. Every Jew was expected to keep the law. So what did it mean to obey the Sabbath? This is the second point. If you'll flip over to Exodus 31, here's the Lord's thoughts about the Sabbath. Remember, even though it's a gift, it's serious business with the Lord. Everyone who profanes it shall surely be put to death. That is, profanes the Sabbath. For whoever does any work on it, that person shall be cut off from among his people. Work shall be done for 6 days, but the seventh is the Sabbath of rest. The Sabbath of what? Sabbath of rest. Holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death. The Sabbath was commanded to be on the seventh day of the week, which for the Jews meant Saturday. It would begin on Friday night at sundown and continue through Saturday sundown. Saturday was considered the Sabbath until about 321 AD, when Constantine changed it to Sunday, which had traditionally been used as a day for sun worship. So when Constantine took over all the area, the Jews still celebrated on Saturday, but the rest of the world began celebrating a Sabbath on Sundays. Here's what he wrote. Here was his edict. On the venerable day of the sun, let the magistrate and people residing in cities rest, and let all workshops be closed. In the country, however, persons engaged in agricultural work may freely and lawfully continue their pursuits, because it often happens that another day is not so suitable for grain growing or for vine planting, lest by neglecting the proper moment for such operations, the bounty of heaven should be lost. That was the Emperor Constantine. So, going back to the prohibitions on the Sabbath, what were they? The Bible doesn't specifically list those labors that are prohibited on the Sabbath in a specific sense. Although in a general sense, it alludes to field labor, treading in a wine press and loading animals, doing business and carrying things, traveling, cooking, and kindling fire as forbidden work. But later, check this out, 39 categories plus various subcategories, like spitting on the ground, were developed by the rabbis to spell it out for everybody. Additionally, they decreed that one not only should avoid the forbidden acts, but also must not do anything that resembles a prohibited act, or could be confused with it, is a habit linked with a prohibited act, or usually leads to performing a prohibited act. In other words, don't even think about going, because man, you are about to sin when that comes out of your mouth and lands on the ground. So don't even think about that. That's what that's the ridiculous things that they've taken it to, or they took it to. Now let me ask you, did the Lord command these things? Right. They were added by humans. Why? Intended to prevent sin and ultimately avoid punishment by God to earn His favor. These would be what we call the works of the flesh, or sometimes the works of the law. It's referred to in the New Testament various times. However, these regulations displeased God. So Jesus came to help people understand God's heart for giving them in the first place and showing them how they can be kept perfectly, ultimately by faith in Him, because He did keep them perfectly. Here's what Jesus said in Matthew 5:17. Do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. I've taught on this before. That phrase, to fulfill the law, was a rabbinic term that the rabbis used to use when they were debating with each other. And they said, I rightly divide the law. I am fulfilling the law. They would use that term. So Jesus is saying He didn't come to destroy it. He came to fulfill it, which means to enlighten and give the more accurate teaching of the law. And that's what Jesus meant when He's saying here. I didn't come to destroy this. I came to give the accurate teaching. I came to reveal God's heart about the law. So please know that keeping the Sabbath is serious business to God. He didn't abrogate the Sabbath, say, we don't have to take this anymore. We don't have to honor the Sabbath anymore. He came to reinterpret the Sabbath along with the other laws. There's a story I heard a couple years ago. A couple pastors were talking. And one pastor called the other one up. He says, hey, what are you doing? You want to go out to lunch? The other pastor said, no, today is my Sabbath. He goes, well, what are you doing? He goes, well, I'm not doing anything. No. What are you doing to do it? He goes, I'm not doing anything. I'm taking a Sabbath. So the first pastor that called him said, well, look, can't you just, you know, can't you have 10 minutes? You have half an hour to go out to eat, get something to eat. You got to eat on the Sabbath. And he said, do you realize what you're asking me? Why don't I just go out and commit adultery? Why don't you ask me to go commit adultery, go steal something? You're asking me to break the commandment of God. Just go out and do something. No, I'm resting. I'm honoring God. I'm honoring the Sabbath. By you asking me to go out and to go engage in some things that ultimately would be work, because they would talk about ministry and things, you say, no, I'm not going to do it. The Sabbath is a big deal. It's one of the laws. We tend to forget about that one, right? We remember the biggies, but we forget about the Sabbath law. That brings us to the third point. Because we are still required to keep it today. But how do we do it? How do we do it? First off, remember that keeping the Sabbath means resting from work, but also making space to honor the Lord throughout the day. We are commanded to observe the Sabbath. It is a law. So does this time of rest and honoring God have to be on Sundays? That's a common question. Because that is the day that has traditionally been considered the Gentile Sabbath ever since Constantine decreed that the Sabbath is on Sundays. By the way, there's evidence that early Christians worshipped on Sunday as well, before Constantine's decree. However, if the Gentiles didn't have to honor a Sabbath on the Jewish calendar, Paul talked a lot about this. They didn't have to honor it on Saturday. Then neither can we expect that a Sabbath has to be honored on the Gentile calendar, which is a Sunday. Having been a realtor in a prior life, I often held my open houses on Sundays and Saturdays if I needed to. As a police officer and a prison guard, I often worked on Sundays. I had to work. I've also worked in the food industry, whose biggest days of sale is on Sunday. But let's consider a couple other nuances pertaining to a Sabbath in modern times. What if I don't consider gardening actual work? What if I find it relaxing, enjoyable, so I actually do it on a Sunday? Is what I consider enjoyable, that is considered another man's work, then am I breaking the Sabbath? Because somebody considers it work. How about which seventh day Sabbath should we take? Just Saturdays and Sundays? Starting when? What if you just heard this for the first time? On Tuesday. Wow. All right, I'm going to work 6 days. So when would your Sabbath be? The seventh? Monday? Monday! Wake up! I'm afraid I'm putting you to sleep here, or else you're in deep, deep thought here. All right. These are tough questions, aren't they? Really, they can best be answered by remembering why the Sabbath was originally given. The first is for rest. It is to be a day of rest, right? And the second is that God modeled it for us and then commanded us to do as He did. We've talked about this already. Meaning every seventh day, according to law, should be a Sabbath. However, we are in the age of grace, and I believe that we need to look at Jesus' response when challenged about honoring the Sabbath, because He came to rightly interpret the law and reveal God the Father's heart for giving them. So if you want to turn over in your Bible to Matthew chapter 12, Matthew 12, verses 3 through 8. So Jesus was being challenged about His disciples doing something on a Sabbath, something little. And He answered, "Haven't you read what David did when he and his companions were hungry? He entered the house of God, and he and his companions ate the consecrated bread, which was not lawful for them to do, but only for the priest. Or haven't you read in the law that the priest on Sabbath duty in the temple desecrate the Sabbath, and yet they're innocent? I tell you that something greater than the temple is here. If you had known what these words mean, 'I desire mercy, not sacrifice,' you would not have condemned the innocent, for the Son of Man is the Lord of Sabbath." Jesus' response indicates that it's not about the day in which the Sabbath is observed. It's about why it is observed. It is consecrated to God, but it is also a day for us to rest and enjoy the good things that God has given us. We weren't created for the Sabbath. The Sabbath was created for us. It is the Lord's gift to us because it is the Lord's day. Not our day. It is His to give, and He has given it to us. So this begs the question, are Sabbaths always taken on Sundays or Saturdays, as some people propose? Because people can get downright legalistic about this issue. So don't just blow it off. This is a big deal. Recently, I heard a man talking on the radio. He was teaching about the importance of taking a Sabbath on Saturdays. He made a very convincing argument. He spoke eloquently and knowledgeable and almost had me agreeing that people everywhere were sinning because they were not resting and honoring the Lord on the Sabbath Saturday. He went as far to say, and I'm not kidding, he went as far to say that the church at large was sinning and there were going to be people who wind up in hell because of the grave error of not honoring the Sabbath on Saturdays. By the way, not everything you hear on the radio, TV, internet is true. What does the Bible say about which days to honor the Sabbath? It doesn't, other than say that it's on the seventh day. Does that mean that the Sabbath has to be on the seventh day? Well, ideally, if we are able, I would say we probably should. Like, good idea. Work 6 days, rest the seventh. God has blessed the seventh day. We read it. He said so. But if we're not able to rest and honor God every seventh day, I believe that God's grace allows us to rest and honor Him on another time period. The Bible indicates such. Paul writing to the Colossians in chapter 2, verse 16. So let no one judge you in food or in drink, or regarding a festival or a new moon or Sabbath. Don't let them judge you for taking your Sabbath on a different day than what they have customarily taught. He's primarily talking about the Jews and the Gentiles. Jews are trying to get them to take a Sabbath on Saturday. Go, no, it's got to be this day. And they're taking it on another day. It wasn't even necessarily on a Sunday. But they were still taking it. So why does Paul say this? To make a long story very short, the Jewish Christians were trying to get the new Gentile believers to obey the Jewish laws like they did. But Paul didn't side with tradition. Remember, he was a Jew. He said, don't worry about which day or what custom, indicating that God is concerned with the issues of the heart, not works. However, notice that he didn't say that the Sabbath wasn't important. He just said, it doesn't matter which day, because he knew the importance. It was a law. Take a Sabbath. So what is the conclusion? I mean, that's what we've all stayed awake for, right? Okay, what does all this mean? How does it apply to me? The Lord wants to bless us. Would you agree? He knows that rest is a blessing both physically, emotionally, and spiritually. He also wants our undivided attention and to spend time with us without the distractions of the world. He asks one day a week. He commands one day a week, really. God has not canceled Sabbath observations, even though we sometimes act like He has. They still matter to Him. It's not the day that we choose, but it's that we choose a day to rest with Him. I'll say that again. It's not the day that we choose, but that we choose a day to rest with Him. At least one day a week to do no customary work or anything that can make you tired, whether physically, emotionally, or mentally. We know that's not always possible. If you're blessed enough to be able to take Sunday off and go to church, then it's a double blessing. Because the Bible says, do not forsake the fellowship of the brethren. Yet it also says, have a day of rest, and that honors God. If you can make Sundays your day of rest, you got double blessing coming upon you. You got double obedience in that. Here's what Hebrews 10 says regarding what I just said. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as in the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Learn to relax and enjoy God's presence by dedicating one day a week to giving to Him. Disconnect from technology and social media. Read the Word. Listen to some worship music. Read a good Christian book. Take a nap. It's okay. Amen. Spend time with the family. But keep the Lord at the forefront of your activities and your conversations. In the Bible, rest is not merely the absence of work, but a deliberate act of ceasing from labor and finding renewal. We're almost done here. It's a time to recharge, to reflect, and to reconnect with God. God wove rest into the fabric of our being. We need rest. Rest is a gift, and if we do not receive this gift and put it into practice, we will burn out. We will have more built-up stress and more anxiety. Our cells need to rest. Our minds and even our spirits need to rest. And it all starts with honoring God with a Sabbath and watching Him do more in 6 days than we can do in seven. Look, I work on Sundays, obviously. Often I'm even working on Saturdays to get ready for Sunday. But I make sure, and Liana helps me. She's watching. She's my helpmate. Say, hey, you make sure that you're resting, that you're taking a Sabbath. To the best of my abilities to take one day off in the week from my customary work, which is ministry. Usually that day is Monday, but not always. So if I don't get right back to you on a Monday, unless it's an emergency, just go, oh, it's a pastor's Sabbath. I'll get back to you on Tuesday. I believe because I honor the Lord with a Sabbath. Now, I'm not giving me an attaboy or anything like that. I just want to present you an example. I believe because I honor the Lord with a Sabbath that He continues to pour out His grace on me in many ways, including keeping me from getting sick, helping me not to burn out, helping me with sermon preparation week in and week out, and various other things I do around here and at home. I accomplish more in 6 days than I could in seven because of God's grace. And I take a Sabbath. I honor it every week to the best of my abilities. Remember, and I'll close with this. Put God first. And you will be given enough time and enough help to complete everything you need. And He will also provide you the resources you need without overworking. He is after your heart, and He desires mercy more than sacrifice. Amen. Amen. Amen indeed. Thank you, Lord. Let's stand and pray. Lord, we thank You for Your commandments. We thank You for the law. The law is a blessing. It is good when we hold it with the right heart because we love You. We know You're not looking over our shoulder to smash us with Your thumb. In fact, You've given us the Holy Spirit to honor You and to keep Your law, to walk in holiness and righteousness. Lord, we thank You for Your goodness. We thank You for Your desire to bless us, to keep us and provide for us. Help us, Lord, to remember to take a Sabbath every week. And I pray and I hope these words have connected with somebody who's been overworking. You've just been going and going. But your body is going to break down unless you stop and take a rest. Father, we thank You for Your grace, and I pray that whoever that is, God, You would give them the grace to rest, to slow down, to honor You, to spend time with family, to take a nap, God, to just talk with You and enjoy this life, the gift of life that You've given us. Lord, I thank You, and I love You. And I know this congregation loves You. Lord, we ask that You would keep leading us in righteousness, that You would protect us from harm and evil, and that the favor of the Lord would rest upon this place and everybody in it. We pray for your power to move. We pray for your presence to manifest. Come, Jesus. Come, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, God bless you. We'll start into the next six commandments next week.